heaven's going to be filled with singing.
It is.
And I'm looking forward to going.
Yes.
Amen. Looking forward to going to heaven. Amen. Brother Sparks, a man I followed at my first church, he said, I can't wait to go to heaven. I just don't want to go on this load. Amen.
Yeah.
And so I am looking forward to going to heaven. But we still left in this world. We got a work to do. We've got responsibilities to take on. And we want to preach along that line this evening as it relates to worship. We began a couple Sundays ago dealing with the subject of worship. And I want to pick up in Psalm 29. We'll read Psalm 29 in its entirety here in just a moment. If you will, stand with me. Brother Chad, if you'll give me, a lot of volume. Loud enough, if anybody's got a wig in here, it'll bounce up and down a little bit. Amen. My voice is shot. We may just try to kind of ease into what we want to get into this evening. But in Psalm 96, let's read several verses here. Begin reading in verse number 7. The Bible said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth." If you will, go to Psalm 29 and we'll read this psalm in its entirety. We'll take for our main portion of the message this passage tonight. The Bible said again, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. A voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. And in His temple doth every one speak of His glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever." I like that verse. "The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace." Amen. Y'all pray for me tonight. Pray, Lord, to strengthen my voice and this teenage voice of mine. Amen's about to kill me tonight. All right, Father, we're thankful this evening for the Word of God. We're thankful for the good songs of Zion You've let me sung here tonight. God, we tried, Lord, with our heart, Lord, uplifted to You to be in tune to what You want to do in this service tonight. And Father, thus far we believe that God, everything's been done, Lord, in order by the will of God. And I ask You now for the next few moments that You'd help us. Help me, Lord, as we teach and as we preach tonight. Touch our voice and Father, help us declare the truths of God, Lord, to these Thy people tonight. Help us, Lord, to learn truths about worship. And God, may our lives be lived in lives of worship, Lord, every day before You, that we might give You the glory that You're so deserving of. And Lord, for all that You do, we bless You and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to direct your attention back to Psalm 29 and in verse number 2, where the Bible said, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Again in Psalm 96, in verse number 9, the psalmist said, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." I'm interested in the subject of holiness this evening. If you'll bear with me, we'll get where we want to go and we'll preach to you this evening. Let me study the subject of holiness. And the psalmist in both cases implies that worship must be done, my friend, with the standard and a measure of holiness. The Bible, I believe, is a holy book. In fact, in most of your Bibles, amen, you'll notice on the front of the cover it says Holy Bible. And so we handle a holy book that is a book of holiness, and we're thankful for that this evening. Let me make a preliminary mark or two that holiness is more than something you put on your church hat. There are certain groups of Christians, so-called Christians, and I'm not here to debate or argue or cast any stones tonight, but they put it on their sign there, amen, Church of God Holiness or Pentecostal Holiness, and they think holiness is something you put on a sign. Amen, holiness is a whole lot more than something that you put on your sign. It's something, my friend, that's greater than you would screen on a t-shirt or a man claim to be. And holiness tonight, we want to look at it in light of the Word of God. I believe it's a biblical doctrine. Amen. We understand tonight that we serve a holy God. Amen. Isaiah said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, amen, sitting upon the throne, said that His train and His glory filled the temple, and that there were angels, and my friend did nothing but day and night flying round the throne of God, crying out, holy, holy, holy. And so God Himself said that He was a holy God, and that there is none like unto Him. And we believe that aspect, that attribute, some have called it an attribute, I think it's even more than an attribute, that we have a God that is holy. Amen, and we're thankful for that. But as we study this in relationship to what we want to deal with tonight, I want to plant our hearts and lives as saved people. And I'm going to give you a lot of verses. We'll read a lot. Let the Bible speak for itself this evening. Notice with me in 1 Peter. You go to 1 Peter chapter number 2 this evening. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And you'll find that Peter's got a lot to say about the subject of holiness as it relates to our lives. If you will, 1 Peter 2 and in verse number 1, the Bible said, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, He's dealing with saved people. He's dealing with new converts. He's dealing with a crowd that's not been saved very long. And He's saying that at the Christian life, when you first get saved, it's like a newborn babe that desires the milk of its mother, and it desires that, it needs that, it needs the nourishment of that, and it may grow up into the stature of a full-grown adult. And so Peter said, that's the way it is in your spiritual life. You need the Word of the Lord. Amen. If so be you've tasted, the Lord is gracious. If you're really saved, you need the Word of the Lord. And so He said, to whom come it? In verse 4, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious ye also, listen, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, notice this, in holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so Peter is saying in this passage of Scripture, the fact that you're saved, that you have been saved to be a holy priesthood. We don't believe, as the Catholics would teach tonight, that there are certain individuals that belong to the priesthood and the rest of us are left on the outside, and that we've got to go through them in order to get to God. Amen. According to what Peter is saying, the day you got saved, amen, God put you in a holy spiritual priesthood, amen, that you, my friend, might be made acceptable unto God. Notice with me, Peter continues this thought. I'll not read all these verses, but if you will, look in verse number 9. Notice what Peter said. He said, verse 5, we're a holy priesthood. He said in verse number 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. What is He saying? He's saying this, there's a time you lived in darkness, there's a time you lived in sin, there's a time when you was away from God and knew not the mercy of God, but
and salvation, the mercy of God fell upon your life, and that mercy has made you something different than what that you used to be. Specifically, that, my friend, we're a peculiar people, and we are a royal priesthood, and we have been made an holy nation. Amen. He said, listen, he said, the reason that, amen, God has made you this is that, amen, you may show forth the praises of Him who had called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so God in salvation has made you and made me a holy priesthood and an holy nation. That is, He has made us, amen, completely different than that we were before we got saved. Are y'all listening now? Amen. We're to be holy. That's what Peter is saying. At the new birth and the salvation we received, and literally we took upon ourselves, amen, that divine nature of God. It has been bestowed upon us and in us, and the saving grace and mercy of God has made you what you couldn't ever be in yourself. Ain't God the name? We believe in holiness because we believe in redemption and salvation and the changed life that comes, my friend, amen, in the work of grace that God does in our life. Now go with me, if you will, to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, I'm just going to kind of hit some highlights and we'll get in our text in a moment. But in Ephesians 4, Paul is writing to, amen, a crowd of believers. And notice with me in verse number 20. The Bible said, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be, notice again, if so be, that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitfulness. Now stop reading there. Look at it this way. And what Paul is saying is, your old man is a corrupt man. He is an unholy man. He's a wicked man. He is fulfilling the desires of a fleshly nature. And the old man, my friend, brings defilement and brings corruption. The old man likes to drink. The old man likes to run around. The old man likes to go to honky-tonk. The old man likes to shoot dope in his vein. The old man likes to curse. The old man, my friend, loves to sin and to get in all the sin that he can get in. That's what Paul has said. Amen. He writes to these believers and he said, you put off that old man. Live in that old man. Oh, let that old man dominate your life. He's going to corrupt you according to the deceitful lust. Notice what he said. There's a negative in verse 22. There's a positive leading in verse number 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your man. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now then, within every one of us that are saved, there is an old man and there is a new man. An old man, my friend, he can do anything that he's always desired to do. And Paul said, put him off. Don't live in him. Don't let him dominate your life. Don't let him dominate your mind. Renew your mind. Make up your mind. Amen. Get rid of the old man. Put down the old man. Starve the old man. Chain the old man. And then put on the new man. And what Paul is saying is, and that is the key, my friend, living in true holiness before God. Amen. Holiness is not something you do in yourself. Holiness, my friend, is not you establishing a standard. Holiness is, amen, the work of the new man, amen, abounding in your life, and putting him on that, and letting him thrive to be the man that God saved you to be. Amen. We are talking about holiness tonight. Amen. Holiness is the result, Peter said, friend, of the work of grace in our life when we got saved. Now that we're saved, Paul said, what you got to do, get rid of the old man. And my friend, put him down, live in the new man. And when you live in the new man, God is established. And that new man has been created. You don't have to force it. You don't have to work it up. And you don't have to pump it up. You don't have to pram it up. He don't just do right when the preacher's around. He don't just do right when mama's around and daddy's around. A new man has been created in God. Amen. In the matter of righteousness and true holiness. Hope I'm making sense tonight. Notice this evening. Amen. We find it. Amen. If you will, flip with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter number 3. It's a good passage about holiness. I'm laying some groundwork because if we're going to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, we gotta understand some groundwork here tonight on where we want to go. In 1 Corinthians in chapter number 3, look with me in verse number 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God. Who's he writing to? He's writing to saved people. You are, as saved people, the temple of God. You're not the temple, mad friend of the devil anymore. You're not the temple in the world anymore. God saved you and God has made you his temple. Oh, this is what he said. Know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Are you not know this? Are you not aware of this? Are you not conscious of this? Paul is saying, are you not living in this realm, knowing, living every day of your life? Amen. In line of the knowledge that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of the Lord, because you're the temple of God, the Spirit of God lives in you. And notice what he said in verse number 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now listen, you're the temple of God. And if you're going to live wicked, and you're going to live in sin, and you're going to live in unrighteousness, amen, Paul said, you're going to get in trouble with the Lord. God's going to work against you. Amen. He's going to destroy you. Oh, this is what the Bible said. For the temple of God is what? Is holy. Amen. God abounds and God dwells where holiness is manifest in the temple of God. It is holy ground. God abides where holiness is. You remember when Moses went in the wilderness and stirred the burning bush, and the voice of the Lord spoke out from the bush and said, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground whereon thou standest is what? Holy ground. God abides where holiness is. Now, what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that you need to be aware, you need to be reminded, you need to be conscious, you need to be, amen, living your life in light of the fact that God saved you and God has made you his temple, and that it is your job to make sure that temple is kept holy and clean and red in the eyes of God. Now listen, we are the temple of God, amen. He doesn't have bad intent, and my friend Aldi and building said, amen, you are, as a saved child of God, you are the temple of God, and the temple of God, Paul said, is a holy thing. Now notice with me, if you will, you're in 1 Corinthians, flip over a page or two to 2 Corinthians and chapter number 7. This is a powerful passage of scripture. Notice with me, and I'll not take time to read it all, and Seth said everything, but just let me lay a context here. In 1 Corinthians 6, that's a chapter concerning, amen, biblical separation. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he said, do you not know that light and darkness have no fellowship with one another? He said, that does Christ and Belial have any concord? Is there any accordness? Is there any unity? Is there any oneness, amen, between God and the devil? And the answer is absolutely not. And Paul makes that good statement. We Baptist preachers, amen, love to preach on, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. My friend, that's still in the King James Bible. It's right that we live separated. Amen. It's right that we live godly. It's right in light of the saving grace of God that has made us a holy priesthood and a holy nation. In light of the fact that we're the temple of God. In light of the fact that God, when we got saved, amen, give us the ability to live in a new man created after God. Amen. In righteousness and true holiness. Paul said, do not live according to the fellowship of the world. Now, what is the importance of all this? It gives a promise in the end of chapter number 6. Amen. When he said, when verse 17, wherefore come out from among the up and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, Paul is not teaching that separation brings you into sonship, but rather, my friend, separation is the mark of your sonship. Amen. You don't live separated to be saved, but you do live separated because he has saved you and you are his son. Amen. And the promise in Paul is making, amen, is that relationship, amen, with God as our Father, us as his son. Amen, friend, it is never more any evident, and it is in the life of a child of God separated from the world. Now, look with me in verse number 1, chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, you want to experience, my friend, being received of God in that relationship. Amen. Listen, the Bible said, and God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. And my friend, writing to save people, James said, amen, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity against God? I don't understand this, and I know a man claimed to have the grasp and the depths of this, and according to the Word of God, it's possible to be saved and yet living a life that is absolutely contrary to the holiness God saved you to live in. And now, what is Paul saying? He said, you've been given some promises. You got saved, you got some promises, you've been growing, and God has let you hear more promises. And dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from what? All filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If you're saved, it is, my friend, your job as a son of God to be living such a life that, amen, you are putting away all filthiness, everything God identifies in your life and that. We are to put it aside. We're to cleanse it. We're to get rid of it. We're to abstain from it. We're to eschew it. We're to get far, far away from it. Why? Because Paul said when you do that, you are perfecting holiness in your life. Holiness is for people that, my friend, want to get sin out. In fact, amen, now may be a good time to give a definition. The word holiness, amen, literally means apartness or sacredness, a dedicated and hallowed thing. In the Word of God, it deals with our lives being consecrated to God. Webster's put it this way. He said, holiness is purity or integrity of moral character. How many understand we're living in a generation outside the church and inside the church where there's very little integrity and moral character anymore? Can I say there used to be a day even in the world when men had integrity and a handshake meant something? We're living in a day, my friend, of little and no, amen, integrity and character, amen. And even in the house of God, we said on every hand, men that cling, my friend, to filthiness of the flesh, amen, not only filthiness of the flesh, but filthiness of the spirit, amen. Listen, you cannot perfect holiness in your life, amen. You say, preacher, I got it all nailed down, I've got my flesh all cleaned up. And Paul said, you got to deal with the filthiness of your spirit too. There's a crowd that, my friend, sadly has been identified more along with the lines of the camps than we run in. That, my friend, they've been dealing with the flesh for years and years and years, and thinking that, my friend, we're establishing a holy generation, a holy nation, a holy priesthood by cleaning up the flesh. And if all you clean is the flesh and you don't put aside the filthiness of the spirit, you still have not perfected holiness in your life. In fact, I could argue the fact tonight in my study of the Word of God on the subject of holiness. Holiness begins in the spirit. And by the way, if you begin it on the outside, amen, if you work it from the outside in, you develop a Pharisee. perfecting holiness deals with, amen, the work of God on the inside from the power of the new man, renewing your mind. It begins inwardly, amen, in the Lord. It's perfected in the spirit and perfected in the man, and when they perfected on the inside, the more it shows up in the flesh. Amen. That's why people go back on their standards. Because they had the flesh all cleaned up, but they didn't have the right spirit to go with it. Amen. Amen. I hope we're doing all right. I'm going to mess up and start preaching here in a minute. Amen. I ain't even got where I want to go. We're about to preach. Somebody help me. Amen. You listen. Perfecting holiness. That integrity and moral character. Amen. Friend that comes along with being a real child of God. Webster said that holiness is purity of heart or disposition. What are you saying, preacher? You're saying it begins on the inside. It's a matter of the heart. Holiness is a matter of the heart. And when the heart is holy, amen, a preacher ain't got to preach all day long and turn blue in the face preaching on how you ought to live on the outside. You get somebody holy in the heart, my friend, you can get up and say this is what God said to do on the outside, and they embrace it and love it and cling to it. Well, that's the evidence of perfecting holiness in our lives. Amen. Webster said that holiness means sanctified affection, that's what it is, moral goodness, not necessarily moral perfection. Amen. Listen, holiness is not everything in your life being right. You ain't going to have everything right till you step into glory. Amen. And let me just say this now. There's preachers and Christians, amen, that their standard, amen, is perfection. And listen, I believe in the perfecting of the saints. Thank God one of these days, listen, I got saved. Amen, I got saved from the penalty of sin. God every day as I submit to Him saving me from the power of sin. And until the trumpet of God sounds, and not until then am I going to be saved from the presence of sin. Sin abounds. Even the great apostle Paul said, there's some things that would not that I do. There's other things that I would that I do not. There's things that I know I ought to do, but my wicked man and wicked flesh rises up and I don't do them. There's some things I ought not do. And Paul said, yet I find myself a doing them. And what did he say? He said what most Baptists wouldn't dare say. Oh, wretched man that I am. Amen. Wrote it to an entire congregation and said, I'm nothing more than a wretched man in need of deliverance, in need of the victory and the power of the Lord Jesus to overcome sin in my life. If Paul didn't have it all nailed down, I doubt you do. So Paul said this matter of holiness, that it deals with you and I getting rid of every ounce of filthiness in the flesh, every filthy attitude, every filthy spirit, every spirit that my friend God sees in us, that God, my friend, is sick and bad. He said, get rid of it and cleanse it. If you want to perfect holiness in your life, you got to deal with it. Amen. Well, I ain't even halfway done the introduction. Everybody okay? Amen. Look with me back again in 1 Peter in chapter number 1. Let me just set the stage here and we'll move on quickly. And in 1 Peter in chapter number 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and look with me in verse number 14 down through verse number 16. Peter said this, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to former lust in your ignorance. That's how you used to live. You did what you did because you was ignorant. Amen. He said, what you need to be now is an obedient child. He said in verse number 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, and he is, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because why? Because it is written, the word of God has said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He is saying the matter of holiness in our life, and Brother Will, it is a matter of obedience. And when holiness is absent, when holiness is void, when ungodliness abounds, and my friend, it is a result of a disobedient child that refuses to be what the Bible said to be. The point here that I'm making is this: you've been called to be holy. God has called you. If you're saved, you have been called to live a holy life. As he which hath called you is holy, he said, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Everything you say, everything you do, everything you wear, everything you listen to, are y'all in the building? Every place your feet would carry you, everything your hands would do, everything your eyes would take in all manner of conversation, be holy, because he that has called you is holy. The Word of God is established. I'm not preaching something, my friend, that is my opinion tonight. I'm not preaching something to you tonight, amen, to establish some gathering or following or disciples, my friend, of Leadbetter. Amen. The one that is called is the Lord Jesus Christ, a God of glory, the Lord of all. Amen. He is holy, and he's written it and penned it in his Word, and he expects you and I to be holy as he is holy. Notice with me, and we've not only been called to holiness. Let me show you one more verse and we'll get back to our text. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you say, but Jeff, where in the world are you going? You forgot you read Psalms. And just hang with me. I promise I'm going somewhere. Right? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, Paul is writing church at Thessalonica. He said in verse 3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That's something that needs to be preached in our day. If you're a Christian, it's the will of God. You say, I want to know what the will of God is. The will of God, you don't live in fornication. That your life, your vessels, he said in verse number 4, would be possessed in sanctification and in honor. Notice in verse number 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Why is Paul writing this to save people? Because evidently, but Joe, there's a crowd that he knows has been involved in fornication. And in our day, what do? We say, well, bless God, they just need to get saved. Let me tell you something. People that get in fornication, amen, they don't always need to get saved. Amen. That went over like screen doors on a submarine. We see people fall in sin, and our Baptist attitude is, bless God, if they were saved, they wouldn't have done that. Come on now, we've all... If we ain't said it, we thought it. Is anybody in the building? If they'd have done that, how can they do that and be saved? Evidently they can. Paul's writing to saved people that was fornicating, and he said, listen, you're saved. You better understand it's the will of God. You come out from that, live sanctified and holy. Why? Because God had not called us to live an unclean life. You can be saved and live unclean, but that ain't what God's called you to. God saved you and has called you unto what? Holiness. We're not only called, we're commanded to live holy. You say, I don't feel like it. I don't care what you feel like. God said, be holy. I don't care if you wake up in the morning, have the worst day you've ever had. The commandment of God's still sure. It's still right. God expects you on your best day and on your worst day, when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, God has said it as a command. You need to be holy. Whoa, hallelujah. Now, in our passage of Scripture, what is the connection to all this? In the matter of worship, notice what the psalmist David said again, Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord the glory, verse 2, do unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You have not, listen, holiness, amen, began the day you got saved. When you became a newborn babe in the Lord Jesus, you just began to drink in, take in as nourishment for your soul. The Word of God, the Word of God teaches you that you were saved, and in that salvation, and friend, you've been called to be a holy nation and a holy priesthood. God's commanded it. God's called it. God said, put off the old man, put on the new man. Amen. Perfecting holiness in your life, cleansing yourself from all filthiness of the flesh. Why? Because as a child of God, your highest occupation is to worship the God that gave you grace. And you cannot worship Him without holiness. I'm preaching on it for about 4 or 5 hours on holiness, the standard for worship. Holiness, the standard for worship. Why do we Baptist preachers get up and, according to some of y'all, harp on being holy? Why is it we harp on sinful living? Why is it that we harp on, amen, the worldly attitudes and the bad spirits that Baptists have? Why is it that, my friend, we drill in you and preach and scream and beg with you just to live right? In fact, the matter is, God Word said, if you're ever going to truly worship God, you'll never be able to do so apart from the holy life that God has saved you to live. You say, if you got Bible for it to do, go to Hebrews in chapter number 12. Hold your place there in Psalm 29. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter number 12. Amen. Let me get up here. I'll read it to you. Amen. We're just taking our time tonight. I know we might be a little lengthy, but I'm feeling good. My voice is coming back. Thank y'all for praying for me. Verse 14, Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness. There's got to be holiness in your life. And in fact, I can argue from this very verse that, my friend, you are not living in holiness if, my friend, there is not peace with other people in your life. Follow peace. Follow after peace with all men. And is, my friend, every other saved child of God. Amen. You're not. And in fact, the very next verse deals with bitterness and strife. And, my friend, that bitterness springing up, troubling you. And, my friend, we are as much as is within us to live peaceable with all men. One of the marks of real holiness is you're not hard to get along with. Praise the Lord. Bless God, I'm saved. I'm holy. I've got a relationship with God. Listen, you ain't near as holy as you think you are if you, my friend, are hard to get along with. Everybody okay? You ever met that crowd? They were saved or said they was, but you couldn't get along with them. You couldn't talk to them. You sure couldn't disagree with them. Amen. I know some preachers like that. Amen. Everybody okay? Bat your eyes. Do this right here and let me know you're in the building, all right? Follow, what's he say? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's a powerful verse. Are y'all listening? Paul said, there's no way you're going to see Him. There's no way you're going to experience Him without and apart from, my friend, the measure of holiness that is in your life. Amen. You say, I think I live any old way I want to live, wear anything I want to live. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'll do it my own way. And friend, when you live an ungodly, unholy life on the authority of that precious scripture, there's no way you're going to be able to worship God. Holiness is the standard for worship. That's why we preach it. That's why we say, young people, stay out of sin. That's why we preach on how to dress and how to live and the right attitude and the right spirit. Amen. That's why some of y'all are so confused sometimes when I get up and preach. Amen. On attitudes and spirits and doing right. Amen. I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm just telling you, you got to deal with the whole package. And if it ain't red, and you're not striving after, my friend, perfecting holiness in your life, Paul said, you ain't going to see the Lord. David said, Psalm 29:2, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The psalmist said in Psalm 96, in verse number 9, reemphasizing this same thought, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Understand this tonight, that my friend, there's something beautiful, there's something, as the psalmist is dealing in these passages of scriptures with worship and holiness, said our lives being holy before God as we come to worship Him. And my friend, there's something, amen, there's something described, amen, as the psalmist describes holiness in worship, amen. He's describing it to be a scene of beauty that attracts the attention of God. God is drawn to holiness. God is attracted to holiness. God, my friend, finds, amen, it to be a beautiful thing when He looks down into our lives and into our spirits and into our heart and into our attitude there, and God can find holiness there. Amen. David said it's a beautiful thing to our Lord and our God. If you're going to have holiness at any time, make sure when you come to worship God, there's holiness. Why? Because God says, I see Tony Lehman, and he's been striving to cleanse all that filthiness out of his life. He's been striving to have a right attitude. He's been striving to be holy in every way. And God says, he's worshiping me, and I'm going to reveal myself to him. Why? Because God finds holiness to be a beautiful thing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Here's what Spurgeon said. He said, purity is the white linen of the Lord's choristers. Righteousness is the comely garment of His priests. Holiness is the royal apparel of His servants. There are some people that think holiness is wrapped up in the outward. You say, you're going back on that? I'm going back on that. Because worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness deals with a garment, but it's not a physical garment, it's a spiritual garment. Amen. There's some that think because they dress a certain way, they just going to walk in and God's going to accept their worship. But my friend, it's not an outward garment. It is a spiritual garment. Amen. I'm not preaching, my friend, that the outside don't count. We'll deal with that in a moment. The fact of the matter is there's a spiritual garment, a spiritual purity, a spiritual righteousness, a spiritual holiness. And my friend, God is looking for in His servants. The Old Testament economy, that them priests and Levites, they had to be clothed in what? Fine linen. That fine linen is representation. Read about it in the book of Revelation. My friend, where the Bible said that the fine linen was the righteousness of the saints. They were clothed in fine linen, but it wasn't necessarily an outward garment. It was something that went beyond what the human eye could see, and it went into the realm of what only God can see. You say, I'm just going to live any old way I want. Well, you ain't going to worship the Lord, because the fact of the matter is, no holiness, no worship. Amen. You say, but I've seen them get up in their Jam for Jesus concerts, and I've seen them sway and roll their hands back and bebop up and down and disco bobs and fog and lights. And preacher, I've seen them really worship God. I doubt they've really worshiped God. Amen, amen, and amen. I told you the other week that worship is something spiritual, and we've got to have that spiritual aspect of holiness if we're going to enjoy the spiritual relationship with God in worship. And my friend, holiness must be evident in our lives and in our heart. Amen. Let me give you some thoughts tonight. Holiness is standard for worship. Number one, the requirement of holiness in worship. It's not something, Kathy, that it's just something I'm trying to do so I can go to the next camp meeting and say, hey, I got a real clean church. ain't about me, and it ain't about you, and I'll get that in a moment. Worship ain't about you, it ain't about me, and neither is holiness. Listen, holiness ain't about me being able to thump my chest and talk about how holy I am. Amen. I've threatened in days gone by, amen, to buy some badges. This crowd that wants everybody to think they're holy, we'll just give them a badge so they won't have to talk about it. We'll just know by the badge. Holiness ain't something I perfect in my life so I can impress Gerald with what I do, what I don't do, where I go, where I don't go. I really don't care. Everybody all right? Amen. Holiness is between me and the Lord. Amen. That don't mean your pastor ain't going to preach it and hold your feet in the fire. That's my job. Amen. But listen, it ain't Gerald's job to go measuring himself to Dean and try to make Dean feel bad because he ain't, quote, as holy as Gerald is. Amen. You know what that does? That hinders you from really being able to worship. Most, come on now, Baptists who done got the place, we're more interested in everybody else's holiness than we are our own, and we're getting depressed and, amen, the life and joy sucked out of us. We can't even worship God. Amen. Well, I'm running too many rabbits. Somebody help me. The requirement of holiness and worship, we're required to worship in holiness, I think, for several things. Look in your Bible. Y'all in Psalm 96. Look over in Psalm 99 and notice what the Bible said in verse number 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God and what? Worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Why is worship, why is holiness a requirement in our worship? I'm going to tell you why. Because we worship a holy God. He's not an unholy God. He ain't Buddha. He ain't Allah. I don't care what any liberal said. They are not the same. Jesus Christ stands far and above every other god of this world. And His holiness, amen, my friend, is what sets Him apart. Amen, He is holy, holy, holy. David said, worship Him at His footstool because He's holy. Notice with me in verse number 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. And I remind you, the God that saved you and the God that bought you and the God that said, I'll make Gerald my temple and put my Holy Spirit in, amen, is a holy God. The reason that holiness is a standard and requirement in worship is because the God we worship is a holy God. Amen. Psalm 130, y'all go to Psalm 5. Psalm 138 and verse number 2, here's what David said. David said, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. One of the great passages we use about the word of God and magnifying even the King James Bible this evening. And understand this, David said, I will worship toward thy holy temple. We not only believe the Bible is teaching you that the requirement of holiness in worship is because we worship a holy God, but we worship a holy God. Yes. Who, my friend, in that passage of Scripture dwells in a holy temple. Notice in Psalm 5 and in verse number 7, the same thought is given. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship. I will worship toward thy holy temple. When we talk about worship and holiness being a requirement, being a standard for worship, but Jerry, what we're saying is the requirement is this, because we worship a holy God dwelling in a holy temple. You can't get to Him apart from going to a place that is holy. Amen. Psalm 99, and again, and in verse number 9, flip back there, should have told you, hold your place. We worship a holy God in a holy temple. That's why there's a requirement of holiness. Notice with me, exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill. You see, we worship a holy God in a holy temple that dwells upon a holy hill. Now listen to the statement I'm getting ready to make. It is, and you are foolish to think, it is an impossibility that we could worship a holy God in a holy temple upon a holy hill without holiness in our own hearts and lives. That's why David said, if you're going to worship God, you do so in the beauty of holiness. Because when you come to Him, you're coming to a God that is unlike any other God. He is thrice holy, dwelling in a holy temple upon a holy hill. Everything about Him and where He dwells is holy. So when you worship, understand there's a requirement that you do so with holiness. Amen. I know we're getting lengthy. Y'all hang with me. I'm having this problem where people quit before I do. The requirement of holiness in worship, the reflection of holiness in worship. We must ask ourselves tonight in meditating on the statement and the thought that's before us, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In what way does God require His children to reflect holiness in the matter of worship? If I'm supposed to do this, and you're supposed to do this, but Jerry, how do we reflect that to God when we worship? Amen. Number one, write this down if you're taking notes, we reflect holiness in what I call the motive of our worship. Something is interesting in both passages. Before David ever said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, he makes his statement on both passages several times, give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto His name. Yeah. You see, the fact of the matter is tonight, worship is not for you, and worship is not about you. Worship is for God and about God. Amen. And by the way, worship is not to you either. Amen. I get to that weeks down the road. It ain't to you, it ain't for you, and it ain't about you. It is to God, it is for God, and it is about God. Amen. I've listened to statements Baptists have made my entire life as we come out of a church, maybe where there was a spirit of worship that was manifest. And my friend, it's as if when we leave, we glorify how we worship more than we do the God we worship. Amen. I'm about to feel like preaching. It ain't about how loud you can get, and I'm for getting loud. It ain't about how high you can jump, and I'm for jumping as high as you can. My friend, at the end of the day, it's about the fact that God gets the glory He deserves. Amen, amen, amen. And this emotional is that, amen, is creeping in that Baptist church house and borderline and charismatic movement. My friend is killing us, and we're robbing God of the glory, and it's due to His name. It ain't about a preacher. It ain't about the name on the church head. It's about God getting the glory that He deserves. Amen. When we come into worship, our attitude, our motive ought to be, I am going to give God everything that God deserves. Amen. We don't worship to be seen. And we don't worship to be heard. We reflect holiness when our worship, Brother A.L., is centered completely on His glory and not our own. God forbid we should ever make the statement, did you see how He worshiped? Did you see how she shouted? Did you see how they ran an aisle? Are y'all in the building? It ain't about you. It ain't for you. Some people, my friend, think worship is for you. Worship ain't even for you. Now, there's some benefits you get when you worship, especially when you worship in holiness. My friend, if you got that in mind on the front end of it, my friend, that's not a holy motive for worship. And my friend, you're robbing God of His glory. Worship ain't for you. It ain't about you. It ain't to you. It is the child of God falling down, amen, in spirit, Brother Mark, upon our knees and in humility, amen, lifting up holy hands to God and giving Him every ounce of glory that's due unto His name. It's about His glory, not ours. I know I'm having a hard time moving off this. I know some churches where the pastor, my friend, he tries to work everybody up and work them up and pump them up and prime them up. Y'all look up in here, I am not no spiritual cheerleader. I'm the pastor and honored to be the pastor of Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. God forbid that I ever fall into the mentality, Brother Tony, that we want to work it up and pump it up and prime it up. Amen. Now listen, if there's a little flame of flicker and I blow on it, somebody say amen. But my job ain't to come in and give you a spiritual little pep rally to make you feel good. Amen. It ain't my friend. Listen, we're not out. I have a church that is a worshiping church so that Brother Jeff can run down, amen, to Monroe and across this country in days to come telling people what a worshiping church we have. Why? Because it ain't about us. It's about Him. It's about Him. Holiness has got to be in the motive of our worship. God, it's about you. Holiness has got to be in the manner of our worship. Notice the statement we're studying in Acts, Psalm 29:2 and in Psalm 96:9. Worship the Lord in what? The beauty of holiness. The word beauty implies an ornament, something that you put on. It's something visible. It's something safe. And I think it's dealing with not only the motive, but also the manner in how we worship God. In worship, listen to me, in worship, God is not going to be pleased. I don't care what any charismatic, what these bunch of, y'all have heard about this movement down in Florida, they get caught up in the spirit and they go barking like dogs and women go flopping around on the floor showing off her hind end. That's not holiness. Yeah, man, if you got to have men, my friend, running around with the sheet covering people up, there ain't no holiness in that. Everybody all right? Yeah, man, he ain't ever led nobody bark like no dog in worship. You say, but my mamma, your mamma's wrong, and your papa's wrong. Yes. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Holiness ought to be reflected in the manner of our worship. How we worship Him, there ought to be some holiness involved in it. Amen. Notice with me, if you will, this word beauty, it means a decoration, an ornament of splendor, a magnificent. It deals with presenting a clean and holy life before God. Now we believe this, and you listen good and well, because we've got to draw a distinction. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you can breathe tonight, it's the will of God that you praise Him. There is a difference in praise and in worship. Amen. Now when you get in the realm of worship, you're going to do some praising. But you can praise all day long and still never get in the realm of worship. That's the confusion we've made in our day. These emotionalism churches, they got a lot of praise. They got a lot of people breathing and saying something and doing something and praising. And listen, I'm not necessarily condemning that, but I'm saying there's something deeper. There's something that God desires. It's far greater, and it's called worship. And if you don't have holiness, you can listen, you may can praise all day long, but you'll never get into the realm of truly worshiping God without holiness. It's got to be in your life. It's got to be in your attitude. It's got to be in your spirit. It's got to be in the way you think. Your affections have got to be separated to God. Amen. It ain't no wonder we can't worship, because we come into church, we live our lives so focused in on carnal things. We live in the world, but we ain't of it. And I know the cares of this life, my friend, sometimes, amen, they choke us out, and sometimes it bogs us down. It, amen, even this last week, I've had to endure some of that myself. Amen, if we're not careful, my friend, we won't set our attitude and our thoughts upon God, and our lives will suffer, and we'll fall short of truly worshiping God. Man, I got to hurry. Y'all going to preach me to death tonight. The manner, listen, offering a clean and holy name. Remember that Peter said we're what? We are a holy priesthood. That are bringing what? Spiritual sacrifice that is acceptable to God. We're not bringing bullocks and lambs and turtle doves, and that's a real good place to shout hallelujah. Amen. In fact, even under the Old Testament economy, David got looking at all that, and David said even under that economy, God does not delight in the sacrifices, amen, of bullocks. Yes. Then what does God want? God wants holiness. Romans chapter number 12 and in verse number 1, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy, and acceptable unto God. What is acceptable unto God? Holy is acceptable unto God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, the sacrifice that we make in the New Testament is a body marked by holiness unto the Lord. That's why it matters how you dress, ma'am and sir. Amen. We get on them women about their dress. Men, it's us too. That's why it matters, sir, what kind of music you listen to. That's why it matters. Amen. It matters where you go and where you don't go. Why? Because I am to give myself to God as a holy priesthood, make a sacrifice of my body and give it to God. And if there's not holiness in it, Brother Gerald, there's no worship in it. You said, but I got a warm, fuzzy feeling. We're not talking about warm, fuzzy feelings. We're talking about really, truly worshiping God. You said, but I got a big old goose pimple on the back of my neck. It can get big enough a piglet can suck on it. And if there ain't no holiness in it, you have not worshipped God. Amen. I'm trying to help us now. I ain't no mean preacher. I ain't going to come hit you no 2x4, but I'm going to preach the Bible to you. And this attitude, it don't matter how I dress, I'm going to wear my tight breeches and I'm going to wear my mini skirt and I'm going to wear low-cut blouses and I'm going to wear my necklace. I don't care if I am a man. I'm going to go to Mama's jewelry box. And I'm going to wear my shorts and ain't no preacher going to tell me how to dress. That's fine. You just go on. That's your right. That's your right. You can do that, but you can do that and you'll miss out on truly worshiping God. Well, I just don't see nothing wrong with it. That's because you're carnal, you're not holy. Amen, carnal. Woo, hallelujah. Carnal people, they'll buck every standard. They'll kick everything that's thrown out. They'll fight against it. Unholy people, Brother Jerry, you can get up and preach. You ought not have a pharisaical attitude, look down on nobody. And somebody who's unholy, they'll kick against it. They'll get all burred up and offended. I tell you, you just don't know how holy I am. No, we don't.
You're right.
The reflection of holiness in worship is I am to be holy in the motive and the manner in which I worship God. Woo! What is the results of holiness in worship? Y'all got another 2 hours? Go back to Psalm 29. Number one, and I mean it. I'm not going to take long. I mean it, Brother Gerald. Please don't leave on me. Okay, thank you. Somebody lock the doors. Give unto the Lord the glory, do in His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I want to show you three things, the results. Notice in verse number 3, the voice of the Lord. Verse number 4, the voice of the Lord. Verse number 4, the voice of the Lord. Verse number 5, the voice of the Lord. Verse number 7, the voice of the Lord. Verse number 8, the voice of the Lord. Verse number 9, the voice of the Lord. And listen, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discover the forest, and in His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. The voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. What's the psalmist saying? He's saying, you worship God in holiness, God will be heard. A lot of people claiming have heard something from God that ain't even had no holiness, ain't even been able to worship. You ain't heard from God. Everybody all right? Amen. Oh, what's his name? Was it Oral Roberts said he saw a 700-foot tall Jesus and spoke to him in the middle of the night? I doubt it. Amen. You say, what do you think about that? I think probably ate some mushrooms or something. I've ate some pizza, son, made me see some great, splendid things in the middle of the night. Said God spoke to it. My friend, if God's going to speak, the voice of the Lord is heard. When men and women who are the children of God have reflected holiness in their life and have worshipped God in the true beauty of holiness, and God has been drawn to it and God has been attracted to it. You say, preacher, I sure do need a word from God. And I tell you how to get a word from God. You start cleaning your life up and cleansing yourself from the filthiness of your flesh. You go to worshiping God, Brother Dean, there's something about that God comes down. The voice of God goes to speak, and there's been things that I've heard, God, that I needed to hear from God. And God only let me hear as I cleaned up my life and truly worshiped Him. David said, you need the voice of God to shake something down. You need the voice of God to get you through some rough waters. You need the voice of God. You need to hear from God. You get in touch, amen, with the spirit of holiness and go to worship in Him. God is heard in that place of worship. You say, I come in week after week and I never hear from God, and it seems like preacher hears from God, and it seems like everybody around me hears from God. Amen. The reason you're not hearing from God is you're missing worshiping God in the beauty of holiness. It's amazing the connection in this passage with worshiping God in the beauty of holiness that immediately gets the voice of God speaking. God will be heard. Number 2, notice in verse number 10, the Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth King forever. God will not only be heard, but God will be seen. Do you need to see God tonight? Listen, we ain't talking about Oral Roberts tonight. We're not talking about some, amen, carnal vision. We're not talking about some charismatic thing. Then we're talking about there are times in our lives where we desperately need to be reminded and see that God is still sitting on the throne, that He still has every flood I'm trying to wade through. Amen, that He's sitting upon it, and that He reigns and sits as King over everything. Forever. Where do I see that? But there I see it when my life is in turn and that matter of the spirit of holiness, and I worship God in that beauty. David said, you want to see God? Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. So it's been a long time since I've seen God move. It's been a long time since I've seen God high and lifted up. I like what Isaiah said. He said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Where did he see Him? He seen Him sitting as Lord over everything that Isaiah was going through. God will be heard. God will be seen. Notice with me in verse number 11, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. God will be heard, God will be seen, but God will be moved. David said, I tell you what God will do. You go worshiping Him in the beauty of holiness. God, number one, what's He going to be moved to do? He's going to be moved to strengthen His children. There's strength in worshiping God according to His standard of holiness. You say, preacher, I'm so weak, I'm drained, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it this week. You could make it if you'd worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. But preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I know what you're missing out on when you let circumstance dictate how you worship God. He'll be moved to strengthen you. He'll be moved to settle you. He said, you'll have peace. Have you ever got to the place where that you worship the Lord and where, my friend, you got to the place where you needed to be settled and have peace from God? And you got in some service or you got away by yourself, you and the Lord, and you truly worshiped God in the beauty of holiness. And God was moved to come down. And your situation didn't change, but you sure had a settled peace in your heart. My friend, that's something money can't buy. Amen. I tell you tonight, I feel like the Lord's tried to help us. Sister Candy, would you come to the piano? I desire to have a church, a worshiping church, because I believe God desires us to be a worshiping church. I long for a worshiping church because I know we serve a God that is deserving of our worship. We ought to be a worshiping church because God has demanded that we be worshiping people. The fact of the matter is, tonight we have yet to see, and I've been in some great services. We had a good service here this morning. We've had some good services this year. We have yet to see a thimbleful of what could really happen if we would truly worship God. And the reason I'm convinced in our generation why we don't see it like they used to see it. And I'm so sick of hearing that. Well, I remember way back when we had to walk the church uphill both ways through the snow in July. God really met with us back then. I'm going to tell you why God met with people back then. They had the standard right. Like it or not, amen, back in them days, even lost women knew how to dress. Everybody okay? Back in them days, even lost people had some morals and integrity and character about them. We come in with this attitude, I dare anybody to say anything about it, and wonder why we ain't seeing it like they used to. How they used to see it's how we ought to be seeing it today. God help us. Let's stand. Listen, I'm just done. I'm just going to stop. I could keep on and keep on tonight. I'm going to tell you tonight, God forbid we leave this service without doing business with God. You might have let some things slip, let some things creep back in your life. I'd get it out tonight. Beg God for grace. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. And my friend, live to be what we've been called and commanded to be. Father, help us now. I need your help. My church needs your help. God, we're a people in desperate need this evening. Lord, of getting the standard back the way that it ought to be. God, we need some young people that realize the importance of being holy in flesh and in spirit. Father, we need, Lord, some daddies that, Lord, will raise up the standard again in the home and be an example and be a leader, Lord, about what true holiness really is. Lord, we need some mamas, Lord, that will lift high that holiness, Lord, to their babies again in an everyday life, and Lord, reflect in the holiness of the holy God we serve. God, tonight our church needs a revival, Lord, of a spirit, an old-fashioned spirit of holiness that could be reflected to a lost and dying world.
Lord, not a holier than thou spirit, but Lord, just a Holy Spirit. Lord, would love sinners and love the Word of God and love one another. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. I know this evening if you need to hear from God, if you need to see God, if you need God to move on your behalf, there's an altar down here. You can bow the knee. You can call upon Him. He can help you this evening. There's a few that's come. Surely this evening there's more. Surely this evening there's more.